Hello, and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 166. No, it's 7. 167. I'll get this right yet. Oh, never mind. It's been a busy day. I'm on holiday, remember. Cut me some slack. How is everybody doing? The dog's in the garden. She's dragged Mike out into the garden, but he will be in very soon. Ah, CQ Dev, CQ, how are you doing? Oh, it's cool there today. I forgot to mention last night, I know this is totally shocking. I forgot to mention it was that cold here yesterday. We needed to close the window. Ah, time to get the Christmas decorations up, I think. All of them. Hello, Kim. Hello, Paul. How is it doing down under? The full story came out about our lockdown release next Wednesday. How can they predict what'll happen next Wednesday? I'm not sure either. But anyway, next Wednesday, apparently, is their best guesstimate. But apparently, the local councils, I wasn't hallucinating, the local councils had petitioned the government to stay in lockdown for at least another week. So I'm thinking, well, who in government would have the right to say no? Local MP. Idiot. Of course, he lives in London, so he's not exactly that bothered, is he? Oh, it's crazy here, crazy. But at the moment, it's really, really overcast and there is a cold draft coming from the open window, which is how I like it. Temperature-wise, though, it's only 1 degree cooler than it was when it was that hot you couldn't breathe. So it's the humidity rather than the temperature. But I'm happy to report, just like Deb, I'm much happier with the weather. Much happier. Lola's much happier. She's been a bit picky with her food the last 2 weeks. Anyway, Mike decided, I'll tell you this while it's not here. Mike decided as he raided the fridge, the freezer, what's in here that we could possibly eat? Well, he found some frozen, obviously they're in the freezer, pigs in blankets from last Christmas. We'll try these pigs in blankets, he says. So he cooks them. He said, you want some? I said, yeah, I'll have some of those. So he puts some on a plate. I tried one and I thought, it didn't much taste like a sausage. Or bacon, to be honest. It was very weird. It was a very weird taste. So I thought, no, not. I mean, yes, you could eat them. They weren't vile, but they didn't taste like the last time we had pigs in blankets, put it like that. Anyway, Lola came in, sniffing the air. Not had pigs in blankets. Quite liked the smell of them. So there I am while my dinner's sat there, cutting these pigs in blankets up into little circles for the princess. Hands one out to her. She wasn't at all sure. So I thought, well, I'm not surprised because neither am I. But then I put them on a plate. She ate the lot. So while she's eating, Mike said, what do you think of these pigs in blankets? And obviously I slipped them to Lola. So I said, they were all right. And he said, I'm thinking that. He said, they don't taste like I remember them tasting. So I said, no. I said, but Lola likes them. And he looked down and the plate was completely clean. So then he starts slicing up these pigs in blankets, puts them on the plate. She eats all of that lot as well. Then, so what we've had to do is she's just not eating dog food. So we've done chicken breasts. She's a lucky dog. All sliced up neatly for her. What we've done is we've put it with some dried dog food. And she's been eating the chicken around the dried dog food. She just doesn't want dog food at the minute. So he went downstairs and he'd put chicken with the dog food. She'd eaten the chicken around the dog food. But once she'd had the pigs in blankets, dived down, finished the dog food. There she blows. Hello.
Yeah, that was me.
I knew it was you.
Standing on chicken. Good evening, everybody.
Don't stand on chicken. We've already had one sad demise today, haven't we?
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, well, it's not stopped to play with it.
No. No, but it's now the football, formerly known as a football, isn't it?
She put it in her mouth and she swings it from side to side. She burst the football.
Yes, it's had a good innings, but she's burst it. But she's downstairs, isn't she? I will secretly let you know. We have toys for her on the way tomorrow. So there is a new football on the way. Hysterical. Mike and I are looking for footballs. And we're thinking we don't want the little plastic things because she'll put her teeth through them. Oh, don't you start, Siri. So I found one and I said, this one's not bad. And it was like a proper football. Leather patches on it and stuff. The only thing was, in the small print, and I do mean in the small print, it said, you will need a pump. Ship's flat. Never entered my head a football was ship flat.
That might flat Stanley.
Yeah, then I had to buy a pump. This is how Amazon make money. You know, if they just shipped a football and it was blown up, I'd be fine. But I've had to buy a pump. So there is a football on the way. There is a basketball on the way. A dog basketball. Talk about rip-off. Just paid 20 quid for a dog basketball. But it's got to be done, hasn't it? Didn't say if that shit flat or not, but obviously the pump's arriving at the same time, so it shouldn't be an issue. And some dog toys. I think we need to do a Lola unboxing, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little unboxing of all Lola's toys. And then you can see how excited she gets. Although, knowing her, you know how dogs are, incredibly fickle. Be like, I don't want that. And the second you press stop, then she wants it. That's what I'm imagining things, how things will go anyway. Usually does. But yes, we have toys arriving tomorrow. But they're not for me. Mm. She might like it flat. You never know.
You can play with a basketball if you want.
She does actually kick it. She actually kicks the football. Mayer never did he?
No.
He had people for that. He had people for everything. It was a wonder he even bothered going for his own walks. He had that many people to do things for him. He was another one. Didn't like dog food. The first time he did that was beef. It was beef in gravy. Did it have any carrots with it? I mean, obviously it had peas.
I don't know.
But it was in a purple tin. I remember it to this day. So, you know, you've got your new pup there and he's just moved on to big dog food. You get it out and he looks really keen, chomping at the bit, keen. Gets it in the bowl. He's straight in there. So I'm like, oh, he's a good boy. He's eating the lot. Look at that. Oh, he's a good boy. And Mum went, come here. Went into the kitchen and lined up along the back step was all the peas. He'd actually taken them out as though fancy putting green stuff in my food and lined them up along the back kitchen step so you couldn't get past without seeing his disapproval. So whenever we gave him that after that, we had to take the peas out. Talk about spoil rotten. Oh, honestly. Kiva makes balls flat straight away. Oh, wow. No, Lola ripped. She started ripping. She must have, like, sat there and gnawed at it, though. Because it was proper light leather, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So she managed to, like, get one of the panels off it. Then she decides she's going to take all the other panels off. And they were all off apart from one, weren't they? And she used the one panel to carry it round with. So I said to Mike, we need one of those basketballs. But I did check at Pets at Home, and they're £20 at Pets at Home as well. And it wasn't actually as big. So the one we've gone for is very, very similar to the one that Mayer had. Now, he loved his. He would carry it around. He would swing it. He'd tug it with you. So I'm thinking, you know, she'll look at it, hopefully, and it'll be like the ball that she likes. But at the same time, it'll have like a tugging handle on it. So she'll be able to carry it around much easier. So fingers crossed all of that goes rather well. But that's tomorrow's toys. And we've got some coming later in the week as well. But yes, the MacBites crew holiday has started. I would say we've warned the neighbours, but you know, we didn't bother. He's out cleaning his cars again. I wouldn't mind, but it's raining. What is wrong with the man? It's raining. Go inside the house and do something else.
Maybe he don't want to be with his missus.
Muppets. Well, do you know, that's an interesting point because they have an extension and their extension's at the side. Ours is at the back. And this extension has been there for years.
And the TV in there is that big that we can watch the news headlines
yes.
scrolling along the bottom of the screen.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
From our back.
This extension is quite narrow from left to right. But it goes the full length of the house from front to back. But this TV that's on the wall, how they watch that stood in the same room, I don't know. But they do have a living room at the front, a lounge TV room. And there's a TV in there as well. And both these TVs must be easy 80 inches. And she watches in one and he watches in the other. So maybe they basically live separate lives.
Mind you, they have got two or three kids there and I think her mother.
So it's a wonder they've got room for an 80-inch telly.
I remember taking Mayer out to do his business one night. And England were playing the World Cup. And I came back in and you said, there's a goal, I'll wind it back for you. And I said, I've already seen it for on the TV across the road.
It is that big, it's like a drive-in. So we don't actually have to pay, we shouldn't really pay for a TV licence, we can just watch theirs. Did I trim the hedges yet? Kim, it's raining, so no. I did suggest that, you know, this must take a priority, and Mike said yes, but not to the point that you'd electrocute yourself. So I've got a reprieve for a day. It's supposed to be cold but not raining Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. So the hedges live to scrap another day. I really just don't want to go outside. Because when you go outside, you meet people, don't you, Mike?
Do you?
We've actually had a bit of a do this week. Yeah, I checked the church newsletter. What could make you maudlin checking the church newsletter?
Oh, yeah.
And Mike went out. What could possibly make him maudlin walking the dog? Well, in my case, I was checking the newsletter and there was a lovely piece in it. They've had it in before. And it's called something like, What If the Disease is the Cure? And it's a beautifully written piece by two people. I don't know if they're scientists or what, but it was saying, what if the pandemic basically saved the planet? Because people did take climate change seriously and they did kind of wind their necks in when it came back to holidays and stuff. So that was a lovely piece. So I thought, oh, I'll read that bit again. It was really nice, that. And there's other things going on in the church. And then I get to this page and we only have one priest. But he has a priest friend, and this priest friend, while he lives in Birmingham, like 120 miles away, his family's up here, so he comes back a lot, and he's basically our second priest. But he's on the shielding register, so we haven't actually seen him here since lockdown, since he went home to Birmingham March, when we went into lockdown. But what he's taken to doing is sending in like a piece about what's happening this week. And he lives in like a monastery, only it's not a monastery.
It's a commune.
It's not a commune either, is it? It's a sheltered's the wrong word, but it's basically their order, their clerical order, have this kind of communal house and they live in there. Like digs, like university digs for priests. And he's quite high up, so I would have thought, he's at the level of a bishop, so I would have thought, you know, if there was something that he didn't like, he'd be able to pull people up on it. Anyway, it starts off a few months back when he sends in a piece about what he's been up to and the fact that these baby ducks have arrived. So the ducks moved in first and then some ducklings appeared. And it was a lovely piece and, you know, it was really like making people smile in the middle of lockdown. So we come on to this week and I started reading it, and I'm reading it to make sure there's no spelling mistakes, make sure the layout's correct. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time half a story's not on the page or last week's readings are in there. So that's my job with it. So I start reading this thing thinking, oh, well, you know, have we got an update on the ducks and everything? And a couple of weeks back, just before we went into local lockdown, he was supposed to be coming back to see his family. And obviously he couldn't then come because we're in local lockdown. So starts reading it. And it was the first paragraph wasn't great. And then he carries on. And after like a paragraph and a half, I'm like, God, we're not in a good mood this week, are we? Well, if anything was wrong, we heard about it in stereo. He's sick of the ingratitude of the people he's living with. And they don't support each other. I'm thinking, but they're priests. You know, you kind of hold people like that to a higher standard. Well, it carried on in that vein until we got to the end of it. And he actually said, on a bit of a downer this week, bye. Well, I'm helpless. And I thought, you know, I know they're not superhuman, you know, but if you're going to put something out publicly, even if you're having a bit of a wobble yourself, you wouldn't want to make, well, I wouldn't want to make other people feel more awkward than they need to. Plus the fact, however bad things are with you, there will always be somebody else who's having it worse. And he made the point of, like, these priests are getting on each other's nerves. They're taking it in turns to do mass, but everybody's nitpicking everybody else's masses. And he said, I can only imagine how bad it is in a family with children. And I thought, well, there are worse things. You know, there are families out there where family members have died, and I'm sure they'd love to have your problems. And I just thought, as a priest, in the church newsletter, by all means say, you know, not had the best of weeks, but we must pull together and we must do this and we must do that. No. So I thought to myself, God, if you weren't a bit peed off with lockdown before you read that, you sure would be after. At which point, Mike went out, didn't you? And it got worse, only not with him. You want me to tell the tale?
Yeah, you tell the tale.
He disappears out and he meets a lady that we both know, we've known for a good few years now. And she was out, and she's out walking her dog. And we already knew, because Mike had spoken to her a few days ago, that she was getting a bit lonely. Lives on her own and she was getting a bit lonely. But in this day and age, you've got online and you could do like the virtual choir thing. You could talk to friends. I don't feel that you are short of things to do, even if, you know, you don't want to spend your entire life online. You know, well, read a book, listen to music, watch the TV, get a box set. It's not like, I mean, my mum used to tell me about when she was a kid and you either read a book and they only had gaslighting, you know, and you're thinking, wow, you've got so much these days. Try and look on the bright side of it. Well, to say she's not looking on the bright side of it is an understatement, isn't it, Mike?
Mm.
So he came in and went, oh, God, I wish I'd not bothered. You know, it would be nice that you could infect her with some positivity, but it's much more likely she will infect you with her negativity. But he came in and I'm just laughing and I said, you know what? However bad it is, we're all still here to tell the tale. Those of us who are still here to tell the tale. And if you can't make somebody smile, don't bother. Don't bother getting out of bed. And no, it was as though she kind of wanted you to make her feel better. And that's okay, but she isn't exactly there to make anybody else feel better. You're all in this together. Let's just try and find something positive out of it, because there's plenty of negativity about. But Mike brought a little bit extra in today from her. Very kind of her. And then, of course, there was the church newsletter, which I decided to print a copy out. This is me, mentality. I will print a copy out for the lady that I print it for. But I will print a copy out for myself as well, and I shall leave it on the side there. And then once I'd done everything I needed to do with all the church stuff, I thought, right, now I'm going to tear it up into tiny pieces and put his negativity out of my mind. And I did.
Kath's loving the Irish hour.
Oh, good, good. Not seen the... Oh, I was getting pings. Was that what I was getting pings off?
She's just pinged now. Loving the Irish hour.
Christmas in New York, even if it's only August. Yes, I put Fairy Tale of New York in today's special. And I did all the segues overnight. Oh, I've been a busy, busy bunny. I haven't got time to be miserable. Life's too short. I know people live on their own, but honestly. And I wouldn't mind she was getting out walking the dog. We know people who live on their own that cannot physically get out of the door. And they're not having visitors from carers, because sometimes the carers aren't allowed in and they're on like the absolute minimum. Sometimes these people can't even get out of bed for 3 or 4 days because nobody's helping them. And she's out walking her dog and feeling very miserable about it. Do you know what? It's a wonder the dog isn't in therapy. But what can you do? I just think when things get that bad, just stick a smile on your face and get on with it. Because if you don't, if you are miserable with what you've got, life will find a way to take that off you and then give you something to be miserable about. Let's just say, do you know, I sound like my mother. She was like that when I was a kid. I'm bored. Mom, I'm bored. She put me right. If you're bored, read a book. That's why I read books all the time. Anyway, what have you guys been up to? Tell me all about it. Oh, your figures are going down. That's fantastic. Our figures are going up. Still. Oh, I did see a documentary, Paul, about what happened in Australia, I think in Melbourne. And it was to do with these containment centres that they'd put together. And then they gave the contract for managing them to a private company who sublet the thing, you know, subdelegated it. And so did they, and so did they, and so did they, until the actual people doing the job, I think the money from the government was £80, $80 an hour. And by the time it got to the person who was actually doing the job, 57 delegations down, they were getting less than minimum wage. So this, probably about a 25-minute documentary type thing, at which point they explained what was actually happening. One, nobody had a clue what they should be doing. So people were getting in and out when they should have been staying put. But the other thing was, and this just blew my mind, the people spreading it in the end, because there was then outbreaks in these hotels, the people spreading it were actually the security officers, because the company, instead of sending the same ones to the same place for 2 weeks, were spreading them around randomly. So if they picked up something at one place, they were taking it to another. But I'm thinking, well, yeah, still, if the people aren't allowed out of the rooms, how are they catching it? And it turned out these staff, to make a living wage, because they were being paid so low, they had to do long, long hours. So they were sleeping at the place on the floor. If they were unlucky, they were sleeping at the place on the floor. If they were lucky, and apparently quite a few of them did get very lucky, they were sleeping with the people who they were supposed to be looking after. And I said to Mike, can you imagine? You're in a containment centre after having come back from abroad. You're in there 2 weeks and you are sleeping with the security staff? Really? You hardly pass the hello. What's your name? I'm back to my crinolines, aren't I? I'm far too old-fashioned. But apparently that was what was happening. I actually said that, Kim, today about the virus burning itself out. I said everybody seems to be waiting for the vaccine. And I'm sure eventually there'll be one. But what happened to the Black Death and what happened to the plague? Because there was no vaccines back then. So is it possible it would just burn itself out? Because all we seem to be hearing is it'll mutate and it'll get worse. I honestly don't know. Don't know enough about it.
The most popular theory of how the plague ended, this was the Black Death. And if it would stop popping up adverts, then...
when you eventually get to actually read what you wanted to read in the first place. Go on, Mike, you can do it. Keep going. Whack-a-mole. Go on, go on.
It's not letting me scroll.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But it basically said, here we go. How did it end? The most popular theory of how the plague ended is through the implementation of quarantine. The uninfected would typically remain in their homes and only leave when it was necessary.
Yeah, but they had more intelligence back then. And we live here, because you mentioned that, didn't you, about what the Spanish
fly.
That's the title for the show. You can tell where somebody's mind is. No, Mike, Spanish flu. He said it kind of died out because of quarantine. And I just nodded my head to the window and said, yeah, that's not happening anytime soon now, though, is it? Thing is, back then, did people have that many places to go? Or was every trip virtually essential? Hello, Jonathan! Are we recovered from last night at all? Apparently, the bus journey proved too much for you. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
The wheels on the bus go round and around.
So if it's going to take brains, do you know we could actually be the last people on the planet? The Macarooners. We could actually end up, the way it's going, people are that stupid. We could literally be the last people available alive. This would be fabulous, wouldn't it? Because the next generation would be far more intelligent than the last one. We've got friends who are on holiday in the UK, but on holiday. We've got other friends who have gone abroad and are getting very cranky that their holiday might be curtailed if they have to suddenly dash back. What did you go for? But that's a whole different story. People going out just randomly for shopping. So still the hair and the nails. This isn't essential if you only went out for the essentials. And all this garbage about the economy. Well, just redefine the value of a pound or something. Because that's what will happen if everybody dies anyway. So sort yourselves out. Instead of which, we've got Boris insisting the children are going back to school. This is next week. And there's a very, 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 very tiny chance that a child would die with it. And I thought, and that's fine. But when the parents are at work and Granny's looking after them, there's a much bigger chance Granny's going to die with it, which he seems to have totally missed. But this is Boris, isn't it? Wonder if he'd be so keen to send his new baby somewhere. You know, like nursery. How old's that baby now? May, June, about July. About four months. 4 months and a couple of weeks. Oh, Debbie's bangs are down to the tip of her nose. I think mine passed that about a month ago. I did actually, it's brushed back now. So my kind of, we would say a fringe rather than bangs, but my fringe is kind of brushed back. But when I brushed it forward, looked like Cousin It. Literally, all I could see was like my bottom lip. And I thought, no, that's not a good look. Let's brush it back again. I could do something about it, but.
Yeah, my bangs are as well. Covering my ears.
Yes, Mike's hair's covering his ears and he's not a happy bunny with that.
No, because they're affecting my AirPods.
Oh, so what he needs, body modification to make your AirPods work.
Yeah.
Thought so. So Debbie's were just above her eyebrows. I think mine were. I last had my hair cut in February, so by then it was probably just above my eyebrows, yeah. But it's quite long now. Never mind. There are worse things that are happening, aren't there? Like I could be stuck in a seminary in Birmingham with the other priest. Oh, my God. Oh, I said to Mike, you know, I can imagine churches will be closing after this. Because if they've not taken much effort to build a community when you can't be face to face, surely the people are going to feel like let down and not particularly be dashing back, because it doesn't take long for you to think, this isn't my community. They're not there for me. Although having said that, the priest has put in, and I quote, you're going to love this phrase, a new task force. Sounds like something off the kind of programme I watch, like APB or FBI, a new task force to reinvigorate the church. Now, surely the time for that was last March, because how many people have you lost in the last 6 months? But what do I know?
What Kim's just looked up Spanish fly.
Oh, good grief. Yes. I don't know why that was on his mind. Questions will be asked about that later. I'll tell you, swear to you. Absolutely. You saw one of your neighbours, let's just say she has naturally grey hair that was about 5 inches long and the rest of it was brown. Luckily, I do have hair dye in an emergency if I need to do this. I know that was bothering a lot of people. Probably about earlier than I thought, to be honest. You know, like within the first 6 weeks, when are we going to get my hair done? And I was thinking, it's not exactly a crisis, is it? Wear a hat. But they did seem to be quite obsessed about it. But as it's gone on, I could understand it more. But even so, it's not a big deal. Although, what was your mother like? Couldn't get out to the hairdressers fast enough.
Oh, she's going again.
Oh, this must be 3 times in the last 6 weeks, something like that. I still would not feel comfortable, because I know if you clean up, everything will be fine. But you know what people are like. You know if you've cleaned, it's clean. My mother always used to say this. If I do it myself, I know it's right. But you'd be relying on somebody else's definition of clean, which might not be your definition of clean. So I'm still avoiding it like the plague, if you pardon the pun on that. But apparently the answer's Spanish fly. You going to buy some? He's still smiling here. I don't know where that came from.
I always say that.
Your grey is still coming in at 60, but 60's the new 40, so I wouldn't worry about it. Now, does it matter what colour your hair is? The type of person you are, that's all that matters. Having said that, I do have friends that are like, I can imagine if they saw my hair, it'd be like, oh, how can you walk around looking like that? Because I don't care, because it's not, in the big scheme of things, that important. I could do something about it if I chose to, if I had enough time. But there are far more important things to worry about, so I'm not worrying about
Kim
it.
Kim wants me to do a Spanish fly unboxing.
Mike would not know a Spanish fly if it jumped up and bit him.
No, I'm shy and innocent. I've just read phrases on the internet and...
He's been. What he means is there's one site he's not allowed to go to. Every time he goes to this site, it does not end well. And to be honest, I have exactly the same experience with it.
Urban Dictionary.
Do not let him near Urban Dictionary. He goes to look up something completely innocuous and comes back with information that you did not need to know. The worst one was the one I looked up.
That's Kim's next port of call.
Urban Dictionary. The thing is, there's like innocent little sayings, and you look it up on there and you realise it's got a totally different meaning and not one you with which you would wish to be associated. It is good if you're looking up things like, you know, like if you didn't know what TLDR is, too long didn't read, then, right, that's what it means. So think like Fortnite speak. But it's the innocent stuff that has a triple meaning, and the third one you don't want to share. No, that's bad. Jonathan's just looked up Spanish fly as well.
The things you learn are marooned, hey? The things you learn from my slip of the tongue.
That kind of description doesn't bear thinking about, Mike. I think it was big in the 70s. but Jonathan, obviously, millennial. Although, have you noticed, Jonathan, you've got competition for the youngest listener. Oh, yes. And I don't think this one can be beaten. Did you notice BK was listening? BK's only 10, isn't he?
Yeah. There's a Spanish fly in my soup. We need a page on the FM website.
Do we?
Yeah, glossary of terms.
We do.
Spanish
Although
fly.
I was thinking, we did have, it was in the iBook, and that's a bit of an issue at the moment, because the iBook, you'd have to put it on your iPad manually, and it's a pain in the backside. So I think MacBytes the iBook will have to be turned into MacBytes the something else book, and therefore need updating. But we often wonder what people think the first time they hear a MacBytes. So if they've been with us forever and ever, amen, like Jonathan, then, you know, he might need reminding of precisely where something came from, like the lesbian vampire killer thing. There is a MacBytes lesbian vampire killer thing. But if you were a new listener and you've only listened to like 10 shows, and all of a sudden I said, oh, good grief, the lesbian vampire killer thing, you wouldn't really have a clue. So I said to Mike, what we need is a crowdsourced FAQ of all the MacBytes things. I mean, one thing Mike and I have actually discussed several times, many, many times, to be honest. And what's the group? Goombay Dance Band, 70s. Neither of us can remember the actual origin of that. So we need the history of stuff capturing. I can't remember what the first show was, and I can't remember why we were talking about it. The lesbian vampire killer thing, I can. That wasn't me or Mike. That was Apple's fault. And that I got hounded to watch this film. And I think it came on the TV at certain times. And it was like, oh, let's all have a watch party. And I'm like, no, let's not. I did start watching it. It was dire. I couldn't possibly finish it. It was absolutely dire. And yet everyone was writing in and saying, oh, no, it's a fabulous, it's a classic. Thinking, what? No, it's not a classic. No, it's not. But apparently some people think it is.
Anyway, having already made one faux pas with copy and paste today...
Oh, good grief, you're not just done another.
No, but I'm just thinking, it's a good job that I didn't, because I've got the chat open for MacBytes, and I've got the Brooklyn's by Request WhatsApp open. And if I typed watching people having sex whilst out walking the dog into the...
It's next week's topic! Songs to listen to while you are out watching people have sex!
I'm going to do that.
What?
No. I'm going to copy and paste it.
No. Some of them are in their 80s. They'll have a heart attack. No. Don't do it. Don't go there.
Oh, so bad. Paul from Sydney's found a restaurant called Spanish Fly Tapas Bar.
Oh, wow. How could you forget what dogging is? Kim, because honestly, seriously, once you know, you can't unhear it. Well, do you know what Kim needs to see, don't you?
What?
Dogging Tales. Seriously, this is a programme. This is UK TV for you. And I always say this. I watched a programme once that was about how TV programmes... Can I have some water as well, please? How TV programmes get to be picked. And there's basically, or up till now, there's been this kind of huge conference thing. And buyers from various stations all converge on this location. And there's little booths. And in the booths, there's a TV screen. And they watch a couple of episodes of whatever it is and then decide whether they want to buy it for their network. And I always say, when they told you what America bought from the UK and what the UK bought from America, I always say you must have this twee idea that everywhere looks like Midsummer Murders or Oxford. Whereas we in the UK with our own homegrown TV are getting garbage like, and I quote, dogging tales. It was something like a 6-part series about dogging. And I thought, how can you get... No, don't ask. And I had a quick look at it and it was like people and that was their hobby. They went out dogging. And they took the cameras with them. And trust me, it didn't leave anything to the imagination. A 6-part series. All British, not all British TV is fabulous. Let's just put it like that. No, that wasn't the BBC, Jonathan. Come on, you know it's got to be Channel 5. Channel 4 or Channel 5. Dogging Tales. I think it was a pun on the dog tales. But yeah, seriously. And these people were like, oh, I'm going to be a reality TV star talking about dogging. Obviously, it didn't quite work out like that. Yet people go out looking for that, yes. There are known areas for it. And now, of course, with the internet and Facebook in particular, they can kind of advertise like a mass meetup. I just think it's absolutely disgusting. Because, you know, what if you are out walking the dog? And you are completely innocent and you just inadvertently stumble across this thing in the woods. And then, of course, the next day there's all the garbage they leave behind, which, you know, you don't want your dog sniffing, eating or licking in any description. But yeah, there are people where that is their hobby and they are quite loud and proud about it as well. Which is fine, you know, that's up to them. I always say what you do in private, it's up to yourself. What you do in the local wood, 300 yards from a front door, I get a little bit bothered about. But other than that, I don't care what you do. But yeah, that was their hobby. I couldn't fathom it either. I mean, can you just imagine one night thinking, a bit bored, I think I'll go dogging. There really is nothing I can say to that. But yes, it's... Would those areas be in the UK travel guide? Do you know, I bet they are. I bet they actually are. Sometimes more than 3, Paul. Sometimes there's sort of 20 there. Sometimes they pair off. Mike thought it was like 2 people who knew each other turning up just outside. But some people watch. Now, I thought with this programme that I saw, there was the 6-part series and there was one programme. And it basically just explained, you know, if you are unaware, this is what dogging is. And again, there was people who were more than happy to be interviewed. And they were saying like, oh, well, I used to get involved, but now I don't. And there was people with like, oh, well, I used to just watch, but now I get involved. So there was like a guy and a girl who went along and they were both up for it. So they start doing whatever it is that they're doing. And then this guy that we'd also, you know, they'd interviewed and we'd followed along with, he pitches up to watch. And he'd taken a little stool with him to sit on and his binoculars. And he was there watching. And then all of a sudden, this next bit totally freaked me out because I wasn't expecting this. And they hadn't said that this was going to happen either. But as the two that the guy was watching were getting it together, as it were, about 4 or 5 guys appeared from behind trees. They were also watching and they started getting quite close. And I'm thinking this isn't so much watching as being literally in the girl's face. And then one of these guys that had come out from behind the trees said to the guy that was with the girl, can we join in? And the guy said, yeah. I was done at that point. I toddled. Like, no, not old enough for this. I was like only in my late 40s. No, not old enough for this. And I looked out the window because obviously it was on late at night. I looked out the window and I thought, you know, there's probably people out there right now. And I thought, I must buy another 14 locks for the front door. Because whatever they do out there, I don't want it in here. Let's leave it alone and move along. Britain. What can I say? Does this now happen in the States, or are they just not quite as open with it? Because I would have thought it would be worldwide. But having said that, I could well imagine. No, it's not. Oh, Jonathan, yeah. What are your hobbies? Like the great outdoors. Oh, you go hiking? No, dogging. There are jobs. You would probably get the job straight away, you know. They wouldn't be jobs that I'd be involved in. Oh, I tell you what, might cause a few heart attacks in HR, which is never a bad thing, is it? You doubt it's part of the British Tourist Board Guide? You never know. They've got to compete now. They've got to compete. There's one northeast of you, but not close. That's good to know. If it's a lot cooler, I'm assuming that would take care of all of that. We're probably, you know, despite the fact it's been raining for how many weeks, we're probably still at the point that they're saying, can you conserve water or we'll bring in water rationing. The government here seem to do nothing but wind you up on a constant basis. It's as though they've got a department, probably called Dominic Cummings, who's like, what stories shall we put out today to keep the peasants on their toes? The only thing with that is it will work for a short time. But the government have now reached the position that nobody believes a word they say. You've actually got people, well-known people, coming out and saying, I'm not listening to the mainstream media anymore. It's all complete balderdash. So they're not doing themselves any favours. They certainly haven't covered themselves in glory with what's gone on. And it's only getting worse. And Boris's insistence that the kids are going to go back. I think the parents at the beginning of the summer holiday were like, yeah, I can't wait to get rid of them. But it seems to have come round incredibly quickly and the COVID thing is getting worse, not better. We're not exactly at the second peak yet, but it's going up. The figures are going up. What they're now doing is finding figures that are going down and tell you that some of these figures are going down, which is fine. I haven't got a problem with them doing that, but they're not telling you about the ones that are going up. But this is our government. You think your government's bad? Take a look at ours. Can't see it getting any better anytime soon either, because they already postponed the elections last May, so 4 or 5 months ago. And now they're asking you to register for next time. I'm actually contemplating, Mike, shall we ask for a postal vote and be done?
No, because I like seeing dogs at polling stations.
Well, I like seeing dogs at polling stations, but I don't mean you actually have to go in and touch anything, does it? Imagine touching a stubby pencil.
I'll take my own.
Are you going to take your own stubby pencil?
Yeah. That's not a bad idea, is it?
Really? Yeah, but you've got to touch the ballot paper and everything. Oh no. Right, so Kim says, I've chosen to read PubMed articles, not listen to the TV. The TV here seem to spout what the government want them to. And you can't help thinking the government have got ulterior motives, which they're not sharing with us. But we know what they are. They don't really need to. But, you know, a lot of people do take anything that's on the TV as gospel truth. If people had any sense, scamming wouldn't be a business, would it? Because people would spot it. Jonathan's given up on the mainstream as well. You'd rather get it off Karen on Facebook. I don't... Oh, you know the one I'm still getting? You'll all love this. The Apple News thing. Now I've taken a different approach with it. Mike said he... with his news thing, you didn't turn notifications on, you weren't getting them, and then you were?
Yeah.
I never turn them on either, but I'm getting them. So I've gamified it. And instead of being annoyed when one of these notifications comes in now, I just laugh at it. They sent me one and Apple kind of dress it up as this is something you really need to know. So I'm like, all right, this is really important then. And then you look at it and you're like, really? One this week, give you an idea. One was Katy Perry's had a baby. And I'm like, I only know of Katy Perry because I had a friend who was a fan. But other than that, what are you telling me that for? Another one, they're just the most stupid notifications. There's nothing useful in them. Probably the only useful one of the year, and you didn't really need it because you knew it was on the way, was the day Boris actually put us into lockdown, which was actually the night of one of Mike's Scotinian meetings, and it was a council meeting trying to organise what to do. So I'm watching it live. I think we watched it together, didn't we, guys? It was a week in. It would have been week two of Marooned. And I'm texting him, and I said, we're in lockdown. So, you know that meeting you're trying to arrange? Forget it. Get a Zoom account, because that's what's happening now. But since then, all the notifications on the watch are just absolute stupid garbage. But now I've gamified it, I'm actually quite amused with it. Oh, Debbie's been doing mail-in since the early 2000s. Here it used to be more of a privilege. You couldn't insist on it. If you were housebound, you could. And if you actually worked abroad but you were registered here to vote, you could. But there had to be a reason. But now it's more, you know, a convenience thing. If you want to vote, we call it a postal vote. If you want a postal vote, then pretty much they'll let you have one. The only issue with it is trying to get one when you've not already got a postal vote. Because what they do every year, they send you a form. It's a paper-based thing, comes through the door. It's not actually addressed to anyone that lives here. It's addressed to the occupier. Because you may be registered to vote from an address that you don't actually own. So it arrives addressed to the resident. So you open it up and it's got in it what's on the electoral roll right now. So if there are any changes to that, you fill the form in. If there are no changes to it, you can do an online thing and... just confirm everything's the same as it was and then put like an e-signature on it and you're done. There was once though, do you remember a couple of years back, 4 or 5 years ago? This was so funny. We'd got a paper form and they'd made a mistake and thus we needed to fill the form in. So it got to the last day to fill this form in because I was working under the assumption I could just do it online, but I couldn't because there was a change. So I sorted the change out and I'd filled the form in. And it was, say it was due by the 10th. It was the 10th. So I had to get this to the town hall. Now, the town hall was maybe 2 miles out of your way on the way to work. So Mike said, I don't want to put it in the post. You know, it's not going to get there in time. I said, but I could go up later. Mike said, I'm like within a couple of miles of the place. Give it me. So Mike headed off about 6 in the morning. And he gets to the town hall. How difficult could this be? He had an envelope. All he needed to do was post it through the letterbox. He's at the front of the town hall, no letterbox. He walks around the side of the town hall, no letterbox. So he does the full circuit of the town hall. This is in Stretford, Jonathan, FYI. And comes back to the front, no letterbox. So he stood there scratching his head with like, well, how do they deliver the post? Because there's no letterbox. When somebody arrives for work, so Mike says, excuse me, you know, do you work here? And they said, yeah.
It was pitch black, by the way, because it was like November or something.
It'd be the back end of September, yeah. But yeah, at that time in the morning it would be. So he said, excuse me, do you work here? She's like, yeah. So he said, you just tell me where the letterbox is because I've got to post this. She said, there is no letterbox, but give it me, I'll take it in. I mean, what did they think? You're going to be posting postal bombs. So they give you this thing that you've got to post back to them, but they don't actually have a letterbox. That's typical in the UK. That is absolutely typical. So this time I'm going to have a look at it next week in our laughable holiday and make a decision whether we're going to change it. Because the other thing is you do not want to be on the public register. Not on pain of death do you want to be on the public register. So need to make sure all the ticks are in the right boxes for that. They sell the public register to advertisers. They sell your private details to advertisers because it's a matter of public record. Now, there is a difference in my mind between it being a matter of public record and actually selling it when there is a legal requirement for me to fill it in. I cannot choose, for privacy's sake, not to send it back. Legally, I have to fill it in and they reserve the right to sell it, which narks me. That narks me greatly. So there's an option to opt out of the list they sell, basically. So I've got to make sure all of that's right. And the last time I had a fundamental change on it, which was 1 year I had to tell them that Dad had died. And the next year I had to tell them that Mum had died. So I put all the details in of the fact that she died and sent it back. When I get the amended thing coming back my way, they'd managed to kill me off as well. So there was only my listed to vote. I thought, for crying out loud. And it had happened because instead of using full names, my mum didn't have a middle name, so she was just Eileen Giles. Mine, of course, was Elaine Karen Giles. They'd just seen the E and that was it, and nuked the pair of us. So I couldn't actually vote until we actually sorted out the problem. And I've been on the voting register since, in this house, since 1985. And they managed to kill me off. This is why I've got to be careful with the form. Oh, if I have to go vote, I definitely will be wearing gloves and a full snorkel outfit. But I'm actually at the stage where I'd rather not vote because I voted last time and look what happened. So there's not really much point. There's no one standing with any integrity anyway. Whoever will get in will be whoever shouts loudest and bangs enough drums. It really is getting to be a total waste of time. Oh, you've had it for years. You're allowed it. My gran had a postal vote, but only because she got a doctor's certificate. Australia mainstream has gone this way as well. They wonder why they're losing viewers and readers. I know. I see things on the odd occasion. Somebody sends me a link and I go to like the Guardian's one that does it. And it says, you know, we're trying to maintain impartial journalism, blah, blah, blah. Please support us and pay. And you're like, you've got to be kidding. You lie through your teeth soon as look at you. I'm really not inclined to support any of them. I don't believe any of them. So I'm not surprised. So Kim says you've got to register for vote. They send the ballot to your house. Your signatures in the mailing envelope must match the registration on the vote or it doesn't count. The poll watchers watch the matching of the signature. I honestly don't know what happens with a postal vote. I've never done one. I honestly don't know. That probably, Debbie, would be a reason for you to be allowed a postal vote if you worked far away. So that probably would tick one of their boxes here.
That was chicken.
It was chicken. But it's not as limited as it used to be. So now you can choose to do it. But poor Jonathan. You struggle to vote in good conscience the way I usually... I'd struggle to vote full stop. Honestly, for years and years, I had a very clear vision of what was right and wrong. And now I just look at them and they are all as bad as one another. I never understood people. I mean, if there was a vote in year one and in year four, There's another vote. If everybody voted the same way they did last time, then status quo would be maintained. Another party would never get in. So an election is decided by the floating voters, but I never understood the floating voters. Because I thought, fundamentally, a party has a set of principles, and you either believe in those principles or you don't. And I never really understood that until the Brexit thing. And then it was like, oh, good grief. Everybody just seemed to be changing their core principles. And I didn't understand it. Two, it for me, it was like, well, what do I do? In these circumstances, you know, I would normally vote this way, but I feel I need to vote that way. And I remember the last time we voted, there was about 27 people on the ballot. And I looked and I thought, I have no idea who these people are. So Jonathan says, there should be, the career politicians should be a 2-year maximum, 8 to 10 years long enough for anybody to be an MP. Totally agree. They become part of the problem, not part of the solution. And I love the way they've been politicians for like 3 million years. And then say, but this time we're going to solve these problems. And I'm like, well, you haven't done for the last 27 years. But this time it's going to be different. That's what they always say. It's going to be different. And I don't believe them. I don't believe them anymore. I think that some older politicians, I think there were some of them who did potentially have a clue and care about people. But I honestly don't think right now there's any of them who care. They're just in it for themselves. So they're all as bad as one another. And I do agree with Kim, which is I'm all about voting. My take on it was, you know, over here we had the Emmeline Pankhurst and the suffragettes, and the things that they went through to get a vote for women, I felt obliged to go and vote, you know, no matter what. But then I think, would they have done what they did if they could see what has happened now? It's not the same system. It's not a matter of, you know, they won't let me vote. Now it's a case of, oh, everybody's got the vote. So now what we'll do is we'll kind of make that vote meaningless. That's how I feel. I feel that's what they've done. But, oh, if Jonathan runs for PM, that's it. You got my vote, Jonathan. If Lola did, I'd vote for her as well. She couldn't do worse. I know they're paid handsomely for what they do, which, to be honest, is not much. And it's a lifetime's, even if they are not no longer an MP. So I'm thinking we have people, can't count the number of MPs who are now novelists. We've got other ones, and this was, they weren't a novelist when they went into the House of Commons, but they are now. The other thing that comes out is TV stars. So we've had more than one politician on Strictly Come Dancing. We've had more than one politician who's now actually presents a show. And you're thinking, this is just ridiculous. But that's what's happening. I really don't like that. And they can have second jobs as well. They make more money from the second jobs than they do the parliamentary money that they get. And of course, they also get expenses for multiple accommodations and stuff. When all the stuff broke, there was a freedom of information thing. Somebody made a claim and got this information and found out that some MPs were claiming like £3,000 for a birdhouse. In fact, I think it was a duck house in the middle of a pond, which is just obscene. But no one was checking this stuff. So there were giant TVs. There was employing their wife to make them dinner. Oh, you've no idea. The stuff that went on, it was shocking. And now the public don't trust the politicians. And then you wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. Here endeth the lecture. But that's how I feel about it. So, yeah. They become millionaires by being politicians. That's exactly the problem. How are we doing time-wise?
We've got 3.5 minutes.
Oh, we're overrunning, are we?
We're overrunning, yeah.
That'll be my segues all day, won't it? That went in between the programmes.
Well, moves everything.
It's going to go slow, is it? Never mind. We've got 3 minutes.
I'll let people know that we'll be live at 3 minutes past 8.
I think they'll know that, won't they? If they've been following along with the show. Yes, it's Brooklyn's time very, very soon. At the moment, we should be going out to Chasing Cars. which is, I did not know Chasing Cars, Snow Patrol were a Northern Irish band. But I soon found out when I was doing my Irish thing, an hour of Irish music, which I had a ball doing. Absolutely fabulous, that. Loved it. Anyway, we're almost at the end of another week, aren't we? Did you all enjoy last night's show? Oh, you've already got lots of songs in here, Mike. And I'm liking the fact that they are upbeat songs. I do like to go in with upbeat
songs.
I've
got quite a few at the bottom, including a couple of worst songs in the world.
We can't go in with the one you've got in at number four. It's far too slow. That's a later song.
That's fine. I'll shift.
That is a later song. But I've got the first three keyed up. Oh, some of my favourites are in here. Some of my favourites. And we've got some marching band stuff as well. Ooh. In fact, there's quite a lot in here already, isn't there? And I'm loving the fact people have put in, like, Fireball XL5.
That was one of Nina's, I think.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. That's a good one. That is a good one. Liking that. Debbie wants to wrap her head around GTD. I'm sure we always adore your songs, Kim, so I'm sure we will. Where do the MacBiters hang out for Brooklands asking for a friend? They go to brooklands196.com and there is a chat box that looks exactly like that one underneath the player on Brooklands196. There is also a WhatsApp group if you would rather join the WhatsApp group or be in both, which Mike has the link for. I created it, but Mike's got the link for it. Do you need more on GTD to wrap your head around it, Debbie? We could do an implementation session. That'd be cool. Kim's trying to get her head around it too. Put your request in Slack. That's a good idea. Then they're all in one place for me. There you go. That's our WhatsApp chat.
1 minute.
1 minute. We will be in 1 minute. Right, let's do a countdown and an out from 30 seconds. But do feel free to join us anywhere. Don't get frightened by the folks that are in the WhatsApp group. They're all quite tame, really. There was the odd one. Do you remember the first time Kim joined us? And this guy came in and said, "Who's Kim?" And I said, "I'll murder him. How rude." But he calmed down. In fact, I think he sugared off out the way. But you are almost welcome. It's up to us who's allowed in, to ignore everybody else. We can always kick them out, which should work out quite nice sometimes. But we are going in tonight. The topic tonight is TV and TV related. But we're heading to Brooklands. So, for the moment, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.